2 billion more reasons to junk the clunker.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. Cash for clunkers rolls on today. The Senate joined the House last night in voting to refill the program with $2 billion more dollars. President Obama will sign that bill, extending the program into Labor Day. Cash for clunkers, of course, pays car buyers to trade in the gas guzzler for a new, more efficient vehicle. New car dealerships adore the program, but Marketplace's Stacey Vanek-Smith says the love is not universal.
Cash for clunkers has sent hundreds of thousands of cars to the scrap heap. And while that's good for new car sales, it's not so good for used car dealers. Trent Snyder is the manager of Trent's Used Car Network in Princeton, Minnesota. He says cash for clunkers has created a shortage of used cars and pushed prices up.
It's driven car prices through the roof because there's less supply out there for them to sell. And there's still a dire need for that lower-priced car.
Snyder says many would-be used car buyers can't afford one now, so those sales are lost. But the shortage of inexpensive used cars will help some sellers get more for the junker they've got. Paul Taylor is chief economist at the National Automobile Dealers Association.
It does make used cars more valuable, and that's important to the customers that they have more trade-in equity on a new car or on an additional used car.
More than 250,000 people have cashed in their clunkers so far. I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith for Marketplace.
Around the world, investors are waiting to hear this morning's report on U.S. unemployment. Economists say job losses probably slowed last month. Still, new jobs are scarce, and the unemployment rate's expected to edge up from 9.5 to 9.6%. European markets are lower by about 1% this morning. Royal Bank of Scotland says its losses got worse the first half of this year. Most Asian markets were sharply lower today. Hong Kong and Singapore down 2%. But Japan's Nikkei reached its highest level in 10 months, despite Japan Airlines reporting a billion-dollar quarterly loss. On Wall Street yesterday, the S&P 500 fell 0.5%, NASDAQ lost 0.5%, and the Dow is off 24 points to close at 9,256. Some promising numbers out of Germany this morning. Exports there jumped 7% in June, and industrial orders continued to rise. Reporter Christopher Wirth has more.
Germany's economy runs on selling products to other countries. It typically runs a trade surplus, which is why this surge in exports is good news for German companies. They've been hit hard as consumers pinch pennies in the rest of the world. But does this mean Germany is headed for a V-shaped recovery? Stefan Schneider is an economist with Deutsche Bank.
Probably not a V-shaped. I mean, if you take the picture literally, it would mean that the rebound will be as strong as the slump. And I think that's exaggerated. So it's would be an odd V in a way, meaning that the right-hand side of the V is probably much less steep than the left-hand side.
But Schneider says if you look closely at that odd-shaped V, it does look like the free fall in the German economy has finally bottomed out. It's also good news for German policymakers who've defended the country's dependence on exports against pressure to become a more consumer-driven economy like the United States. Schneider says that model hasn't been shown to work very well either. I'm Christopher Wirth for Marketplace.
American International Group reports earnings this morning. And if you are an American taxpayer, you have an interest in that. The government has an 80% stake in AIG. And the taxpayer bill from the housing market bust keeps growing. Fannie Mae says it needs $10.7 billion more dollars in government aid after posting another gigantic loss in the second quarter. Fannie Mae has already gotten $34 billion from the government.
Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
I mentioned July unemployment comes out this morning. Losing a job brings all kinds of problems, of course, financial, emotional. It also raises questions of etiquette. From Chicago Public Radio, Adrienne Hill reports.
It's not something that most etiquette books cover in great detail, how to handle being out of work in the middle of a recession. And Mary Gustafson has a lot of questions. She was laid off from her job as an editor of a trade magazine in January, We meet up at a cafe in Chicago. She's found herself wondering how to be in touch or out of touch with old colleagues.
My friend and I decide there's a cooling off period before you can talk to your old coworkers again without it being too awkward.
She's pondered how to handle expensive dinner invitations and
what to do when you find out you've been either defriended on Facebook or de-LinkedIn.
And solving this social quandary.
The hardest one is figuring out how much you can whine to somebody without being too whiny. Like, you can feel sorry for yourself for a while and you can let people buy you drinks for a while, but how long is it okay for you to complain?
I think you need to factor in a few days of Doritos on the couch, crying, you know, angry, and then you really do need to set that aside.
Amy Dickinson is the advice columnist at the Chicago Tribune.
It's like, you know, when you're dating, you don't want to go on a date with a guy who's like complaining about his ex. So you have to leave it. And I think you have to leave it as quickly as you can.
She says the people who do best are the ones who just get on with life, who don't hole up and withdraw. Job seeker Gustafson says it can be tough to feel confident meeting someone new.
Chit-chatting at wedding showers or any other public event, it's kind of awkward when they ask what you do and you have to say you're unemployed.
Dickinson, the advice expert, suggests it's time we all rethink the ways we interact.
Small talk isn't so small anymore.
Her recommendations for new topics, maybe celebrity gossip, or simple, perhaps more meaningful questions like, how are you? For Marketplace, I'm Adrienne Hill in Chicago.
We'd like to know how you're doing. Tell us your story at marketplace.org. And finally, the Coast Guard's giving away a free house in Massachusetts. Granted, it's a lighthouse, but it's airy, 114 feet tall, stunning views. It's called the Minot Ledge Light. It's been guiding ships since 1860. You do have to pay, though, for upkeep and maintenance. You're going to want to weatherproof that house. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great Friday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.